Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I'm recording this intro as we're moving into the 4th of July weekend here in the States, planning a few extra days off to enjoy our Colorado summer. As I'm planning a bit of outdoor time, a bit of water time, a bit of family time, a bit of me time, I know firsthand the importance of slowing down as an entrepreneur. I love my work so much. I love my clients. I love my community. And if I don't pay attention, I can find myself working lots of hours. I think back to my years in the corporate when I used to work 80-hour weeks, and I never want to get back to that point again. Talk about burnout. And I think as mission-driven, passion-focused entrepreneurs, we can easily find ourselves in burnout if we don't set good boundaries and pay attention to how we are taking care of ourselves and how we are spending our days. Taking time off is so important. My hope for you is that you are doing the same this summer. You're making time and space for you to do the things that you love. Today's guest, Dr. Anne Arvizu, is an expert on avoiding burnout. Anne is a business advisor. She's an entrepreneur, an author, a media commentator, a leadership expert, a keynote speaker, and a former Fortune 500 global executive. She is the founder and CEO of two thriving companies after a 22-year executive career in the biopharma industry. After having experienced the debilitating effects of corporate burnout and seeing her clients on the verge of physical and mental burnout, she launched the Core Leadership Initiative to promote productivity, life balance, and business building skills for entrepreneurial executives, what she calls corepreneurs. I know you're going to love this interview. Let's meet Dr. Anne Arvizu. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Anne. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Cami. It's an absolute honor.
Oh, and I really am excited to hear about your story. You've had an incredible career in the whole world of the biopharmacy industry, and it led you to this burnout space, this place where you decided it's time to change things up. Can you tell us a bit about your story?
Yeah, I guess, you know, where do you begin, right? So I knew that leaving pharmacy school, I wanted to go into the pharmaceutical industry. And in my very first year after breaking in, which that's a story in and of itself for another time, another podcast, but breaking into the pharmaceutical industry back then was pretty hard. You know, I took a lot of persistence. And
as a woman,
as a pharmacist, getting into clinical research and development position, as someone who wanted to really just climb the corporate ladder. And I just kind of knew that. I knew that I was meant for business. And I knew that even in pharmacy school, I knew that I didn't want to just stay in hospital or community pharmacy or clinical. I had a taste of clinical, and then research was really where my heart was. So I wanted to go there. And I had all those, you know, idealistic goals of the cure for AIDS or the cure for cancer, right? The big, high, lofty goals that you really want as a healthcare professional going into the pharmaceutical industry. And pretty soon into it, maybe within my first year of working not just 40 hours weeks, but 60 hour weeks,
right?
You realize it's pedal to the metal. It's a complete uphill climb for your first couple of years in the industry because there's such an intense amount of regulatory aspect of what you're doing to learn. And then you kind of start to get that little bit of, it's really not the patient center of all we do. It's kind of the shareholder, right? It's a big multi-global conglomerate. It's a Fortune 500 company. And there's a tipping point of where do your values lie? Because HR loves to onboard somebody into an organization, especially in healthcare or hospital or what have you. And they say, here's our core values. It's integrity and love and this and that or whatever. They give you the core values and then off you go to your job and never do you hear about them again.
Right.
So it was fast forward in 2008, there was a huge crash and I had left the pharmaceutical industry when I had a download to start my company, RxCR Communications. I was literally on a business trip in Puerto Rico and it was like, boom. I mean, it was 5:30 in the morning. I was on
a business dropped trip. In for you.
It totally dropped in. Like the logo, I drew it out. I wrote 20 pages worth of notes. And then I went into my office visit of, you know, at GlaxoSmithKline. I was there visiting the team in Puerto Rico. And I was like, oh my gosh, I almost can't wait to quit my job and become an entrepreneur because I felt like this download was real. Now, from that time of the quote unquote download to me actually executing and then, you know, creating the company and then starting it was about maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
But
we were very much on the same timeline when I left the corporate world. It was 2008 mm-hmm. When I was actually gently opened the door or not so gently, you know, to say it's time. And I always say that was my best gift was I got laid off. And second was that it was 2008. So it was same sort of time frame. And I needed space and time to let my seed of an idea really come to fruition. So really close to this very same timeline that you had.
Yeah. So the 2008 was actually a separate timeline. So thinking about timeline year, it was in 2002 that I got the download.
Okay.
It was in 2004 that I actually incorporated and RxCR was born. And within probably 4 to 6 months, I was already making multi six figures.
Nice.
And it just was like, I knew that this was divine. It was that divine download. Mm-hmm. I trusted it. And then I had to trust myself.
Right.
To just do it.
Right.
And not know like, okay, I'm the expert of medical affairs, medical information, but I'm not an expert at business yet. Right. Yeah. So did all the professional work, became a certified coach. Did all the Tony Robbins stuff, walked on fire, jumped from trapezes, like did all the rah-rah stuff to become the entrepreneur that I thought I needed, you know, to keep myself up and my teams up, hired people. And then 2008, you know, that was the crash. That was the crash for the 2020 crash. So during that year, nothing that we threw against the wall stuck, lost every contract, all of our clients, they were bought by other companies. And I was just spinning my wheels till I spun myself into the ground. And we had to move across the country for my husband's job. Mm-hmm. And it was in 2009 in Pennsylvania that my second download happened. And that was where, boom, it was like I was exhausted. I was grieving. I knew now I was going into early menopause. Mm-hmm. I was going through the irreversible process of going into infertility. I knew that I couldn't have the baby I had always wanted. I was like feeling like a stranger in a strange land. Right. My mother-in-law had just died. My dog Bridget was sick with cancer. I was like, it was like one thing after another, just like you heard that story so much last year. It was just that one thing after another. And I was burned out. I was tired of the corporations and doing the, you know, all the work that it takes to kind of pitch large scale contracts to,
right.
Now pharma industries in a new state. That was really hard. So I started up again and I climbed kind of, you know, like I just climbed my own corporate ladder in my own company.
Right.
You have to hunker down and do the things that matter. But then it was in 2009, I was sitting at home and I had asked, like literally, like Jaime's like, what do you want? Jaime's my husband. He said, what do you want? And I said, well, I want to make double the amount of money for half the amount of work so that I can work 20 hours a week and work on this new thing. And the new thing was this core initiative that I had started because I was now a coach trainer and I wanted to create a coach training program. Mm-hmm. And so I literally got that contract. So you could say I manifested it. You could say it came to me. You could say, you know, I prayed and it was answered. Whatever you want to call it, I got it.
Oh my gosh.
That is just so, so cool because you just know those little things, like after a period of deep darkness and moving and grieving and loss, like the light starts to shine again. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to say, Cammie, and you probably agree with this. There's so many women probably listening right now that they went through a hard year last year too.
A lot of women did.
That vision can come back out again, and you know, these types of possibilities can happen.
Yeah, and I think so. When you were in that space, and you just think about it, you were really as you were initially growing your company, your company was growing really rapidly. It found that flat spot, and it wasn't working anymore. And you had to pause, right? So that pause that you took and that insight that you found and what do you really, really want is where it gave birth to something new. So what I see so often as entrepreneurs, and I certainly have hit those kind of spaces in my business where something was supposed to be different than what we were working on at that initially was supposed to shift.
Yeah.
So the universe gives us these great gifts, these great clues to be able to refocus, to recenter, to reconnect.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Connecting back in is absolutely the key. Mm-hmm. And being there to now birth a second company at the same time was amazing. And what it did for the first company is to make sure that I knew what I wanted and clarified vision and never let vision go again. Mm-hmm. And that's when the company could scale and grow to over 7 figures, which it did.
Nice.
And then the second company was a coach training program. Now that's interesting because this company, CoreCentric, started off as CCI Coach Institute back in 2009 when I was moving, because it was like, okay, which one do I want to do? Let's start both. Let's see where they go. Let's see what works. And then it started to work again, both of them. And then that company had a crash. So second company, second crash. And actually that crash actually happened not due to any economics, but just due to my personal health crisis that I was going finally into this, you know, menopause. I had some issues with it and I had to have a partial hysterectomy. And that was in 2015. And that was after running that for several years, but I knew that there was something not right with it. And you know, like you just know something's not right, but you can't maybe, you're not out of the weeds enough to know what that is. And it's until you're on the operating table and not caring about what you're doing for the next 2 weeks, because all you want to do is read like Harry Potter books and not care about work or your employees or anything else. You just want to just take care of yourself. And that's when, you know, the flow can start again and the ideas can happen. So I was like, okay, God, you want me to start this coach training program back up again sometime in the future? I need you to light the divine pilot light inside that. Like I had a flame and a spark for it before. Mm-hmm. And now that pilot light's out, it's cold. So you're never going to have any kind of successful business if that pilot light's out.
Absolutely. We have to have that fire inside of us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And if you don't, like, I mean, so many people in corporate America, they go into work, they hate Mondays. Why? Because their inner core is disaligned or misaligned with their true core values and the core values that their company says that they uphold, but something's not right. It's awry. It's off.
Right.
So that's kind of point number two in terms of really knowing, like trusting yourself when you get that download. And number two, making sure you stay in alignment, because we can really get caught in the weeds. And
yeah. And I think what's really interesting is your story, which I didn't know this until we had started this conversation, where you had the burnout was actually as an entrepreneur. Was you were having some of the 60-hour work weeks back in the corporate world where it felt starting like you were starting to burn out, but you did it as an entrepreneur as well. And I think that so often women leave the corporate world because they are burnout, they're tired. And I think the point you're really making here is we have to keep taking care of ourselves, because we can fall right back into the same patterns. And, you know, I've done it. And I catch myself and say, wait a minute, stop and slow down, reconnect, come back into this space of me before you keep expanding. And I think that that's something for all of our listeners really to remember. Don't recreate what you left the corporate world for.
Yes. And that's exactly the point. I mean, I just that work ethic that is so rewarded in corporate America that's ingrained in you. And that's right. something that becomes part of how you do your business. And that kind of burnout that was sort of happening a little bit in the corporate world mm-hmm. really didn't happen to the level that it did when it was like, I ran myself into the ground trying to save my company every last bit and not take, I bootstrapped from the very beginning. I've never taken loans or anything like that. And priding yourself on that fact and not getting the help you need. Or at the time, my husband was working with me. And I was losing vision because he was like, okay, well, let's try this and let's try that. I was like, no. And that's when I realized, okay, second time around, I am the keeper of the vision. This download came to me.
Right.
I'll lead this company. And if it doesn't feel right, it's okay for me to pause and say no or stop or just, yeah, rest. Yeah. Because nice. In that pause is where like, you need to be fed. You need to be watered. It's just mm-hmm. like a plant. You need yep. sunshine.
Yep.
So even just now, what do I want to do in 20, you know, fast forward all these years, I still ask myself that question because it's so powerful. So this year I'm like, what do I really want to do? So guess what? The training program's coming back out at the end of this year.
What's coming back out?
The coach training program.
Oh, it is because that's, you've listened to yourself and that's it.
I do.
Yeah.
The pilot light's lit again. So I'm like, okay. It's time. Here we go.
How do you know when you know, what do you feel in your body? What do you know when you get that? Yes, it's time.
I think, I feel a lightness in my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I can feel it in my heart space where I'm open, right?
You know,
open is one of my words. Centered, yep. open, resilient, and energized are four of the words that describe core and corepreneur and in my brand. And that is really, really integral for everything I do and how I show up. So when I know that my core feels good and that I feel lit up, like I feel like it's my heart center and it's also my gut.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut or my gut feeling, you could call it your power center. It's that yellow, yummy chakra, right? It's like whatever you want to call it. It's there's a knowing. I remember when I was in high school and I'd go out, right? And my brother, kind of like my older brother, just knew I was probably going to go party, right? Under it. And he'd say, if there's, you know, there's alcohol or whatever, you should probably not be there. You know, you should this and that or whatever, but always go by your gut. If something doesn't feel right, just call me. I'll come get you.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's a good thing to know. And I guess that's always stayed with me. Just follow your gut feeling and your intuition as a woman,
It's such a beautiful, beautiful gift we have. If we leave it off the table, we're leaving so much of us off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you, tell us a little bit about the core initiative. So you've started to give us some glimpses of it, but tell us a little bit more about what core is and just some of the principles underneath of it.
Yeah. So years ago, I had the coach training program that I talked about. My second company was called CCI, and the coach training program was called the CCI Coach Institute. So as a coach trainer, you know, with the ICF, the whole nine yards, at a 16-week coach training program, trained hundreds of coaches in hundreds of countries. And that's when just, again, I was overworking during that period of time, plus going through a health crisis. Mm-hmm. So this time it wasn't an economic crisis, but it was a health crisis. And I put it to sleep, but it was also CCI stood for Christian Coaching International. And I didn't want any more to be perceived because like when I was going back into corporate clients with RXCR, I was using the same skill set, but without maybe a biblical background or a spiritual background. And in corporate America with my corporate clients, you can't bring up obviously politics or spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so you can say, okay, an interconnected, integrated, holistic viewpoint. You can say things like that, but people, the actual employees of these companies are hungry for it. So right. I'm thinking, how can I, you know, rebrand, rename? And the question that kept coming up with all my clients was what's in your core?
Mm.
And so what's in your core, Cammie, is different than maybe what's in my core. Maybe you and I share as both women and both entrepreneurs, we probably share a lot of the same core values.
Right.
But we have our unique individual ones as well. Right. And that's absolutely okay, because there are so many layers of understanding of the onion, the proverbial onion, if you will, that's around us, that we really need to peel back in order to really sometimes find out what's at our core.
Right.
So again, CORE is my trademarked acronym, and it stands for being centered, open, resilient, and energized. And those are just four of our main core values. Those are the core in CORE.
Yeah.
And the wheel is different, because in 2009, when I went through that kind of second crisis of identity of like, what do we do now? And, you know, how am I going to pick up RXER and start over again? And how am I going to start this coach training program? There was one question that I kept asking myself, and I had a problem with what a life balance wheel was, if you know what that is, mm-hmm, right?
I do. Uh-huh.
Even to score the from 1 to 10, you score the areas of your life. And then there's two philosophies in coaching. One is you lead from your strengths, and the other is you fill in the gaps of your weaknesses. And I couldn't really, you know, from where I was scoring myself, if you score your, you know, if like you've gone through a major crisis like 2020, like so many people have, they've lost their job, maybe they've lost a loved one, they're scoring every area of their life kind of very low.
Mm-hmm.
Finances, everything gets thrown out of whack when things go wrong. And how can you really recover from there? So I would look at the spiritual piece of pie and I'd go like, well, that one is the one that sort of permeates all of them. And then one day I was sitting there literally pecking away at my gifted RXER job that I said, you know, I wanted double the money for half the work. And I was doing that. And I was working at this giant, you know, this giant spreadsheet, completely boring Excel, and running a global publications plan and sending out all these publications all around the world for the pharmaceutical industry for this client, which was Shire at the time. And it was like, boom, download number two happened. Mm-hmm. I walked across my 1100 square foot office to my whiteboard and I started drawing what I was seeing. I drew the vision out, and that vision looked like the core wheel that's in my book, Affluent Minds, Core Expressions for a Rich and Wonderful Life, which I published last year. And, but back, you know, when that first happened between 2009 to 2010, I wrote my coach training manual all around the first module based on CORE. So it is a new coach training initiative that doesn't exist out in the other coach programs out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that will be something that next year we're pursuing full on ICF certification for the full Corepreneur University, it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's going to teach you how to be a coach as well as to be a consultant, which is a little outside of scope of ICF, but something that I feel that people need, like how to contract, how to find big corporate clients, how to do what I did and get the kind of revenue stream that I had going as a successful entrepreneur. And I didn't know I was actually successful until one day I was like kind of looking up, what does this mean? And, you know, oh, seven figures. That means I'm in the top 2% of all women entrepreneurs. Wow.
That's cool. Successful.
That's successful. That's downloads. And that's just trusting really your true heart, your core.
Yeah. So there's four components to it: the center, the open, the resilient, and the energized. Go into each one of those areas for us.
Yeah. So again, going back to that wheel, picture a wheel. And now let's picture, instead of just your spirituality being a wedge of pie,
right?
Mm-hmm. Let's draw a circle in the middle and put it right in the center. So whether you want to put God in there, or I put the word core and I put core, you know, C-O-R-E, and I let people decide that for themselves. But then there's a band right around that. And that's what's unique. There's something that is like the time wasters, the time stealers, the random pandemic, right? You know, the things that totally take our focus off of what it is in our core that A, we're supposed to be feeling, and B, supposed to be doing.
Right.
And we can't be doing and operating at a high enough level when we're resonating at these outside external levels only, or if we're trying to come in to the wedges of our pie and not be grounded on something. So really to be rooted and grounded and centered on your highest and best core values and what that means to you and why, from a principle standpoint and from an attributes and values standpoint is where centered is for me. Okay. And so me centered on those highest values and thinking about, okay, is this really my highest and best right now? Or is this my mind playing tricks on me? Because that's, you know, in your head, as Tony Robbins says, get stuck in your head, you're dead.
Right.
So there's that. And then open. Am I open or am I closed? Am I open-hearted? Am I open-minded? Or am I closed off to your opinion or the language you use, maybe because it's different than mine? Or am I open to see that we're saying the same thing and we're really truly there? Because the more open you are, the more able you're able to receive those next downloads.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. So my word for this year has been soft lines. And it's very much because of the openness, right? So if you're playing in soft lines, there's not hard, rigid lines. And there's openness associated with it. There's fluidity associated with it. So I totally get the whole open piece and why that's so important. Talk about resilient.
Oh, resilient had its moment last year.
Totally.
Right?
And it was a year of resilience.
I know. And we were already publishing about it. So my team was super excited. They're like, you have to get this out. You have to get this stuff out. So I did. You know, I got the book published last year in the middle of, I think, March or June or something like that, somewhere in the early spring. Anyway, just getting that to get the wheels out and to get the trademark done. That was great. But resilient was, for me, that is, it's your shield, you know, it's your buckler in times of, it's your umbrella. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that you have for a rainy day, and it's there and it's in you, and it's something that you have to know to tap into and ooh, you know, put on.
And I think that's a really important piece, right? You have to remember
that you have it.
Right.
And one of the best ways to do that is to say, okay, remember a time when I was successful or strong, or when I overcame this thing in 2008, I can do it again in 2020.
Right.
When four of my corporate contracts went away. Yeah, I had a crappy year last year too. You know what I mean? So resilience as an entrepreneur, I know so many entrepreneurs that we would get on our entrepreneur Zoom calls and stuff and our mastermind groups, and we'd be like, you're crying, like, this is what's going to happen. And everybody lets themselves go to that space because of the fear that was driven into us last year and the, you know, reality and the gravity of the situation. Yeah. But there's a way to be resilient and come through that. So for some people, when they're about to go speak, right, a lot of entrepreneurs are also speakers, they'll put on their protective armor, or they'll put their walls up. Or I know someone who says, I put my body condom on, right? Yeah. And kind of resilience is like that. You have to know that you have it. You have to tap into it from where, when you're there. It's like a fruit. You can pick it off of a tree. So just know that you have it, know that you can pick it and choose it. And then ask yourself, like, how can I do this again? Right. Yeah. When have I been that way before, and how can I do it again? And those answers will come.
Yeah. One of the questions I asked my clients early on in the year last year was, what is the genius in you that's really going to be serving through this time? You know, yes, you have to take care of yourself first, right? So there's that centered part that you're talking about. But if you're thinking about, okay, how do I maneuver through 2020 in a way that I'm serving? And that, when they started to look at how they could show up and serve and utilize the gifts of who they were, they started to, I mean, their resilience went on to high. They were really resilient through that craziness of last year. And so many of them had record years. And I was so I was thrilled that, you know, that by tapping into that resiliency piece. And I see the similarities there in what you're talking about, how that really helped them keep afloat and even grow through last year.
Yeah. And leading through crisis is key.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as the head of your organization, like you are, it's something that we have to be the leader. We have to be on all the time. It's go time all the time. And last year was like pedal to the metal, which of course lends to potential burnout. And I had to be really aware of who on my team was, how are they showing up? How are they checking in? We have weekly calls and weekly Zoom. So I was always checking in, always reading their language and everything. And and for some people it was, wow, I'm so super busy. And others it was, I'm a little just, you know, like you could feel that they just needed a little bit of space to just move through the way they needed to process. And there's things going on in their families and their kids are at home. And, you know, these
other, I mean, those were real things last year. All of those were really real things. And I think that was, we actually created a Marco Polo room where people could just show up whenever they needed the chance to voice, right? Okay. Where they needed to be able to give voice to whatever they were going through. And I think it's that, you know, being able to go back to being that open you and letting that those pieces of you come out. And then the healing, and it's like one day it might be one person that needed the healing and the other rest of the team was supportive or vice versa. So it was really a flow thing. And that's something that I really learned to watch last year. That was so really brilliant.
Yeah. That's so good, Cammy. That's so it's true. And really showing up for each other and being there is part of it. It's part of, you know, putting resilience doesn't have to just be relying on yourself. It could be relying on others and flanking, you know, others around you that you need as another shield, as a form of human shield. And, and admitting that it's okay to say, I don't feel that great today.
Yeah, exactly. And be okay with it because you can't fake it.
Yeah,
you probably can't fake it. Yeah. So I love your last word, energized.
Yeah. As a woman as in a certain age, in my 50s, I'm not always as energized as I used to be. I used to be literally the energizer bunny with those little drums. You know, I would go, 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 get on a plane, fly to Europe, come back, you know, in 3 days and keep going because I had global roles in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
And I
used to do the same.
Yeah. And I've had global roles as a consultant to the pharmaceutical industry and back and forth to Boston, back and forth to California. At one point in the industry, I had, you know, an office in LA and I live in South Florida. So like every 2 weeks, right? And you can just go, 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 but energized. That has to be tapping into what makes me truly happy. Mm-hmm. Am I doing what I'm called to do? Am I on track for kind of my destiny work? Or is this just my zone of excellence in the pharma industry? And even with RxCR, my first company, this year, I'm energized. I'm re-energizing it in a new way because I'm asking questions that I haven't asked since 2002 when the original, now that the company has morphed over time, right? We've gone a little bit more consulting than we are service provider versus like it was flipped more in the beginning. Right. And we had, you know, just different things that we do in medical affairs. And then I've broadened that to a C-suite level of what I do. But now it's like, okay, I really want to focus on the therapy area, something that's completely aligned with my core Centrix and my core Prenor brand, which is I'm a CNS expert in the pharmaceutical industry, which CNS is central nervous system, so depression, ADHD. It's like the very polar opposite in pharmaceutical treatment of mental health and disease, which is so important. The very opposite of it that really just juices me is this coaching and bringing it out to help people become more centered, open, resilient, energized. That's been huge. So aligning the two companies for the first time in all these years is super energizing because it's truly coming from really my heart and soul and what I want to do.
Ooh, that's awesome. I love that. And I want to point out what you've said a number of times is the power of the question in those moments of strategic shifts of, you know, contemplating the next move. Those questions, those powerful questions have, and really listening into the answers that come from those questions seem to have really guided you beautifully.
Thank you. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I think that's one of those things is always keep those powerful questions that you can ask yourself as, you know, as for all of our listeners, what are those powerful questions for you that you can come back to time and time again? And you've really listed some really nice ones here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you feel like the biggest challenges women leaders, executives, entrepreneurs all face and what we need to be doing to overcome them?
I think for women in general, let's talk executives first. And I'm an executive as an entrepreneur.
Totally. I own it, right? Own that.
And own that, right? So, and then I have a team and I want to operate it just like a big business. So whatever kind of executive you are, unless you're a solopreneur and you don't have a team or you're just, you know, you're starting up, that's different, but you want to grow into that role. And knowing that you are the visionary, knowing that you are not just the jack of all trade and masters of none, because in these flat, lean organizations, which when I say that, it's in corporate America, we don't have the large, and you know, you and I are on video right now, you can see my hands, the large multi-level organizations.
Right.
Now it's like maybe six levels down from the CEO is every, you know, is the lowest rung on the totem pole. So that in the middle where the executives are, director, senior director, vice presidents, those are the roles that I've held, and those roles are absolutely squished. You're doing everything from rolling up your sleeves and, you know, just the proverbially cleaning the bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. And cleaning up the mess or hiring the vendors or, you know, doing some of the work yourself, as well as running and building a team at the same time. So, and then building planes while they're flying, it is just that typical pace, very, very fast pace in an organization. And when you are, you know, the executive in charge of your own company that you founded and you found that on a vision, the challenge there for women is not to overdo or overplease, like to set, I like your soft lines. I'm going to come back to that because it's a form of a boundary, but not be so rigid.
Right.
And I believe in that because, you know, just I teach life balance, but every once in a while, if someone wants to interview me and it's on a night or a weekend, like, okay, let's do that because it could be for someone else's greater good. If maybe my story can touch someone else and, or if your story can touch someone else. So like just knowing that you can blur your own lines, but not to the point of hurting yourself.
Right.
And in corporations, women need to be able to say no.
Right. Oh, I like that a lot. And sometimes even as entrepreneurs, we need to be able to say no. I mean, yes. I've certainly have said no to some things this year. I was sitting on a board and I was like, you know, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
And no, I think I'm going to be done as of this point. And so sometimes finding that space and just stay, and I think it's always coming back to this knowing inside of us that guides us. I mean, when I said no on that board, it was a really hard decision because I loved the organization.
Yeah.
And I was very emotional when I found the clarity on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, did I really just decide this? And it was the right thing. So as we have these knowings inside of us to be able to guide us in our nose. So mm-hmm. I think that's such a good thing for us all to keep in mind. Talked about, I know you, so this working on both sides, you worked as an executive, you worked as an entrepreneur. And what can corporate executives learn from successful entrepreneurs and vice versa?
Yeah. When I've gone back into the pharmaceutical industry and I have, you know, consulted with VPs, chief medical officers. So these are really the top of the organization, the top of the food chain, if you will. It's very soon after that we're in the process of working together that it's not just I'm coaching your organization, or it's not that I'm just building a slide deck for them, or my team is creating, you know, a glossy for their patient education programs. It's that they're calling me and they're like, I'm so exhausted on a Monday.
Right.
And for teaching them entrepreneurial skills, which is, yeah, you do kind of handle a lot as an entrepreneur, but you think about things in a much broader way than is almost allowed inside of the industry. And kind of because as an entrepreneur, they've never really, as a corporate executive, they haven't done what we've done. We've had to learn social media. We've had to learn sales. We've had to learn marketing. We've had to learn, you know, how to market ourselves, how to bring ourselves to the table, how to give our elevator pitch, how to let people know what we do. We've had to write, we've had to speak, we've had to do so many things that the normal executive hasn't done. So
it's a stretch. There's a lot of stretches that took place from the very beginning. You know, every time you stretch, and I don't think you get that stretch so much in the corporate world and that level.
You don't. And so I've actually had to stretch people out of their comfort zone and say, hey, come to CIA, I want you to come do a presentation. Like I've sort of PR'd people, if you will. Like I've been their public relations agency to come do this. Okay, we've created the slide deck for you. Now you go deliver it in public,
right.
At a convention,
right?
And getting that to happen. And when they see that they are now promoting what they do in some ways, then they're getting like a taste of the entrepreneurial life. And they're also getting grounded into ownership of what they do, which is very different than a corporation employee versus an owner mentality that we have as entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Now, if I think back to my corporate days, you know, I certainly had stretch moments, but I never had the level of stretch that I took as an entrepreneur. I mean, that was just such a huge stretch. And then what about on the flip side of that? What can entrepreneurs learn from the corporate execs?
Oh, tons. Structure.
Right.
We're not all Van Gogh with a paintbrush.
And, right.
You know, like just, we need structure. And most people that like you and I that have come from corporate environments, you know, you kind of have that 9-to-5 mentality at least and more, et cetera, et cetera.
Totally.
But to create meaningful metrics, to hold yourself and your team accountable for timelines and not let them slip, to treat the business like a business and, not just as a passion project or as a, you know, expensive hobby, which I know people that a lot of women start businesses, but women tend to fail faster than men when they start their businesses. And you know, 90%, you've heard that old statistic, 90% of businesses will fail within their first year.
Right.
Because I think people either don't launch fast enough or they don't make money fast enough and they get down on themselves and then they forget really what the vision is. So, so you can learn, just go after your sales goals. If you don't want sales, then hire someone. That there's all kinds of fractional organizations that you can do now as an entrepreneur that makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, think about your business structure and plan it just like you would a full-fledged corporation.
Yeah. That makes sense. So where can people learn more about you and your work, Anne?
Thank you, Cammie. So annarvizu.com or corpreneur.com will, you know, later this year when the coach training program comes out, RXCR Communications, if you happen to, .com, if you happen to, you know, be someone from the pharma industry that wants to engage our company. I'm all over social media. I know that you'll probably share the links. So I'm social. Just ping me and say that you saw me on Cammie Gildner's Extraordinary Woman Radio. And thank you. Yeah, I think that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
You can download the Corporate to Freedom Checklist also on my website. Yeah.
There you go. The final question we always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience?
Oh, gosh. You know, I would say, you know, the first thing is do the thing and you will have the power. Because people sometimes think the power comes like if I just felt more powerful, then I'll, you know, or on a good day, I'll do that Zoom or I'll do like a video or whatever, like whatever that is to break out of your comfort zone, do it.
Yeah.
And then it'll start to come easier and easier.
Nice.
Like people writing a book. I wrote my book within about a month.
Oh my gosh. Good for you.
So, and it's small, it's a short little book. I wanted kind of one of those little pearls of wisdom, you know? And so a pearl of wisdom that comes from the book is that affluence, so this is number two, Affluence is our birthright.
Mm. Right.
And affluence is all about, in my book, I teach about it because like there's an old archaic definition of the word. You know, if we were sitting in a park together having lunch and someone next to us said, oh, that guy's affluent, we would probably overhear the conversation and think, oh, that guy must be rich. We would immediately just go to it's monetary. But affluence is about the flow of water. So it's really about what we were talking about before. It's about having flow. It's about having soft lines and fluid boundaries and knowing that, yes, there's structure in our lives, but intuition can guide that in a beautiful way. So affluence is the flow of water in and out of our lives, and that brings the flow of finance and wealth as well. And then, you know, the other thing I would say is maybe, you know, strength. Don Ward had a quote many years ago. In fact, I'm going to read it for my vision board. It says, if you are going to doubt something, doubt your limits. Because the limits really only exist.
If we can blow past those.
Anyway, yeah. We tell ourselves we're not good enough or pretty enough or young enough or old enough or whatever.
Right.
And that's the biggest lie.
Yeah, right, totally.
Between our ears.
I like that a lot. And I really like the water piece of that because it's interesting because I've had a lot of, I've even been getting like insight timer meditations on be like water. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm such a water person. And so there's this element. And I was thinking about how water has the whole soft lines and there's movement, there's flow, there's motion. It's like all those sorts of things. And that's just really been top of mind for me. So I especially like your second one. I think that's fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun, Anne. It's been great to meet you and great to get to hear your story. I know my audience is going to love it and love just getting to meet you. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Cami. This was excellent.
Yeah. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at camigelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.